Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha. It's bit season.
What's going on, biddies? It is Thursday. I'm Drab T-shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. Nope. This is episode 133 or 183. Excuse me. Bit season.
Hope everyone's having a great week so far. Valdez getting ready to head out to Ocean City.
That's right. I'm meeting Hurricane Aaron right on the shore.
Oh, is that coming to the Eastern Shore?
I think so. I'm leaving Thursday. I think it's starting to tail off. The rain's going to tail off Thursday, but there will be high winds on Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, and still high winds, but lesser wind Friday, and then Saturday should be like perfect, and then Sunday coming out. So can't wait to get blown away.
What are the plans for the weekend while you're there?
This is a big weekend. The whole crew's coming.
Who's in the crew?
Wacky Jackie and his wife.
Oh, they're all staying in Ocean Pines?
In Ocean Pines. Wacky Jackie's sister, Wacky Jackie's sister's friend, RP, myself.
Nice.
My fiance. Nice,
friends get away for the weekend.
Been in the works for a while. You want to know why? Because I should be offended by this because, like, a mockery of our vacations growing up.
Why?
Because. I mean, Ocean City is like where we went to every single summer as kids for like maybe a little bit longer. But this was floated around. This is months making about picking a date where everyone was free to go down there and hang out and basically do all the white trash shit. Like this, like we're basically cultural appropriation of white trash going on right now.
But you are white trash.
I know I am.
So what did you think?
I know.
The core.
I'm saying going there, everyone wants to do the white trash tour of going on the boardwalk, going to Big Peckers, going to Green Turtle,
going to Thrasher,
going to Thrasher's, Secrets during the date. Like, so it's a who's who of white trashery that's going on.
All right. Well, I hope you have a good time. I feel like you need a vacation again. I feel like you're ready for another weekend away. Come back refreshed, ready for NFL season.
That's right. I'll be here before you know it.
Last week, I think you guys heard a little bit about it on the Junkies, our Friday night out with the boys. We went to Reston Town Center again. Another fun night, but I want to dive deeper into Matt Valdez's brain, and I touched on it on the show a little bit, but you have to understand, Matt Valdez, he ditched me on Friday night, and Livy, you didn't hurt my feelings because I had Trey was with me and we were having a good time. But I'm trying to get inside that thick skull of yours, Valdez, okay. And I just can't figure out why. Like, was it just the alcohol talking? Why you wanted a guy who lives in Reston to go all the way down to Arlington at midnight and then come back out?
We're hanging around Mar. We're talking and whatever, and then the opportunity came, and it was poor decision making. And then we were all rallying around one another, and it was time. It was here. It was time. Trust me, I told you, as soon as it's not a short ride from one place to the other.
Yeah.
We're in the car heading there, and 10 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, this is the longest car ride ever. This is the longest car ride ever.
I knew you'd regret it.
I did.
I actually, that's why I didn't put up a fight. I wanted you to experience the pain of bad decision making. I said, oh, all right, have fun.
We thought you were coming with us.
Nah, never gave that signal off. I don't even know if I was asked, to be honest with you.
I said to Mar, I said, hey, is everyone coming? And he goes, yeah, I think everyone's, they're grabbing another ride.
Oh, I'm so sure. We're grabbing another ride.
I think he was talking about...
You were
about,
being led by a drunken fool that night.
I was, yeah. And I was going along with it. Mm-hmm. I think Mar was talking about Jack and all of them going to a different place.
Oh, okay. Did those guys end up going to Arlington too or not?
No. They went to Tiki Tai. Or
another place in Reston.
Yeah, they went to another place.
Okay.
So I think he was a little confused. Trust me, I'm in the blame pie. I'm taking 20%, and that's being very generous. But I'm blaming the person who was in Reston at 5 o'clock,
and then firing off group text messages to us
at 5 o'clock.
Right,
I'm blaming him, and I should have taken control of the situation. I knew
we were effed when Mar was sending audio voice messages at 5 p.m. And I wasn't scheduled to get there until like 8 o'clock.
Well, I felt bad. See, I felt bad because we were talking about 7:30-ish. Mm-hmm. And basically the rain just hoard everything. And I didn't get there until 8. But I was still the first one there. So, and then I felt even worse that we left Mar basically roaming around Jackson's and Reston by himself, but he had a good time. But that was on me letting him lead the charge. But I felt like he's the leader of all of this, right?
Mar should never be led by Mar.
Here's the thing. Mar's the ringleader in getting all of us together to go out.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're in the middle of it, Mar should not be the leader as it's going on.
I want to talk about Mar with you a little bit. I get these tweets every once in a while, and I feel like people don't appreciate Mike.
What do you mean?
They call him like a frat boy and all this stuff, and like they don't like his shtick. It's like of him doing like boots on the ground or just like the way his inflection on the show.
Hold on, the way he's talking?
The way he talks, like his cliche, like the things that he says, the cliches on the show. People, like to me, I love it. I think I get a kick out of it, but it's not hitting with everybody.
Are they growing? Remember the AWOD fatigue?
No, it's remember not, that? You know, I don't think you can have I think it might be pretender fatigue or something like that.
Well, Mar's not pretending.
But that's what you guys don't know. Mar's doing like a bit on a bit. Mar's not, he's not really like that in real life. He's actually really quiet and doesn't really, I hate frat guys. Yeah. I never got along with them, never wanted to. Mike is like one of my guys that would be living with us, but we would just be
cantankerous around one another.
Well, he would just be like one of the guys. He's in a way, he's like mocking the frat life type thing. I don't know how to really explain it, but it's just charming in a way that's actually the way he comes across on the show.
I didn't know Mar was getting that kind of hate.
I think it's mostly like his takes on the show. Like the way his delivery isn't hitting with people, everyone.
Well, also not everyone is 25.
Because they feel like he's not acting like himself. He's just pretend, like he's on a bender or something.
Well, that's. I mean, he's doing shtick almost.
Hey, he's just doing shtick. I mean, if Mar was truly himself on the air,
you wouldn't hear a peep.
He would never say anything, and it would be quiet mumbling.
Yeah,
because that's kind of what he's like until you get him going.
Right.
Plus, he loves it. Like I think he does a great job on like the Weekend Parlay or these little things where people get the light shown on him because he always cuts up his little snippets and put them out on social media.
Yeah, I did see that.
He gets super excited. So just be supportive of Mike. He's not like the show jester like Awad was. He's just kind of filling a different role, but I think he's awesome. I get a big kick out of him, and he's a lot of fun to hang out with. But it's getting weird that I'm 43 and he's 25.
I know. There is a speed bump that you have to get over. There's a hurdle. Mm-hmm. The age gap is very weird. Okay, if you're just looking at it on a sheet of paper, it's just very weird. But being around him, mm-hmm. like it just goes out the window, right? You just all of a sudden it makes you feel younger, and it's not like you're trying to pretend it. Even my friends, all right. Even when like Jack is around him or whatever, Jack gets a huge kick out of him.
Hey, because, look, there was like a 65-year-old guy there last weekend that was getting a kick out of Mark.
It's just whatever it is, he makes you feel comfortable, and like you actually feel like you're one of the boys that's living, that they're all living together.
I will go as far as to say it's impossible to have a bad time if you're out with Mike, because you're just watching a guy live his best life.
Yes.
He's smoking cigarettes, but he's never out of control. He's never like embarrassingly out of control.
Yeah, you know how Adam would get like super sloppy.
He would never get into a fight.
No.
Adam would get sloppy. He would kind of embarrass you.
He might spill on somebody.
We've
all done that. But the thing about what separates Mar from somebody who's like that is that if Mar all of a sudden gets like that, he will recognize it, and then he'll just like eject out of the situation.
He's the king of the Irish goodbye when
he's
drunk.
Because also he knows like he doesn't want to ruin your time, and he feels like if he's getting too messed up or whatever, he wants everyone to be happy, and he wants everyone to have a good time. And I feel like he does a great job about
it. So Friday night, we're out at Open Road having a good time. Dude, I don't know what happened. I think I had five drinks in 60 minutes there. Now, look, three of them were, I think, Mick Ultras, but okay, that is whatever. But I had two shots there as well. So I was kind of already buzzing. And then we were marching down to Jackson's after the Open Road was winding down, and Mike's doing his Hoosiers chant. He's ripping cigarettes. I haven't had like a cigarette. I mean, since I was a freshman in college,
tell me his peer pressure isn't good. He goes, come on, why don't you get yourself a drag? That's what he said.
And then he's doing like Von Miller impression in the middle of the street against the safety cones. It's just a really good time. It's good for us to kind of connect, I think, as a show. And I wish folks would come out and be a part of it, because I think we need more bonding on the show. I think we're at a point where these guys, they get enough of each other. They don't really like to hang out. They don't like to hang out with us. EB said he would do it, but could you ever see Eric out there at 11 o'clock at night? These guys would want to go to happy hour. I'm not a happy hour guy. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a happy hour guy. I'll never be a happy hour guy unless I'm not going out until the sun is down. Because I want to
like
make
a vampire.
I want to make bad decisions at the end, like at the end of the
well,
night.
I'm not. You want to be like me? I made an awful decision.
You did, and that's what it's all about.
I said this on air. I blame Chuck Lee too.
He
planted the seed. That's why he did. He planted the seed, because remember I told you about his offer when he called me that day or the day before. And then it was a bad decision. Bad decision all around.
Well, first off, it's not as bad, because I didn't realize. I thought the Hyde crowd, because you said clarinet, I thought the Hyde crowd was like 21 to 27 or something. No. I totally missed that. No. It's an older crowd with a little bit more money. So that's not as bad. I just, the car ride down there from your house.
Both car rides were interminable.
I think I got one of these in me like once a month.
I think once a month, once every like 40 days.
40 days? Okay.
Yeah, it's like our Lent. All right.
40 days. Once every 40 days, I think the three of us, and I'm just talking about the three of us.
Yeah, the three amigos.
Should go out to
just go rip it up.
And I'm a little disappointed in the biddies. Were you not? I don't really want to go into it, but.
Thank God it's Matt, right, from Minnesota? Thank God
for Minneapolis.
Or Minneapolis. Uh-huh. Yes. Thank God for him.
Well, look, we didn't really sell it. In fact, we basically no-sold it. Yeah. I mean, I expected like, oh, but it was like at 6 a.m. when we talked about it. Maybe we did we talk about it on the show, too?
I think we mentioned it once. Yeah, we did. Next time we need to be more clear.
We would love to hang out with...
We need a week's worth of, like...
Next time we go to Reston Town Center when it's the three of us,
yes.
Okay? That means it's a bit season event. We're together. We need a few more of you guys to come out with us, all right?
Yes.
I mean, there was like probably four or five throughout the night.
Yeah,
but
and then I had to load the deck with all my friends to come out, too. And then same with you and Trey.
I'm telling you, it's a great time.
Hey... But this is also what we need to do is we need Mar to start planning earlier. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Like we got
to. There's no. We don't need a. We don't need. No. We don't need a plan. We got the place. The place is Jackson's.
Okay.
All right. There's something about being on the corner outside.
What about? Jack was telling me about.
Is that place popular when it's cold out? I have no idea.
Jackson's?
Yeah, they got to have heaters out. Yeah.
What about the one that Tiki placed?
I don't know anything about the Tiki place.
He said, because he was telling me that place is Mar speed because they're all younger clientele.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get Mar talking to all the MILFs, but you get Mar in his element with younger people and they have beer pong in there. He said he felt like a fish out of water. That's where all the young people were. We'll discuss. But
I don't. Can I tell you something? I don't know if like I don't want to be around a bunch of young women.
I know. I don't.
You know, like I have no interest in talking to them.
You know, the first time we did it was so good. We should have just went back to the well.
I guess I have interest in watching Mar talk to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I also get a better kick out of Mar talking to the hag at the bar as well.
That's so funny. I love the guess the age bit.
What do you mean of the women?
Yeah,
was that what he was doing?
He went up to these women sitting at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Trey was there too. And then they're like, how old do you think that chick is right there? And then they're all saying, oh my God, like 40. I was like, no. She's got to be in her 50s. All right. I was like, you got some beer. You got the worst kind of beer goggles going on. She's in her 50s. And believe it or not, I think Trey and Mar walked right up to her and asked how old she was.
That's bold.
I know.
Trey, again, if you don't know who Trey is, he's a buddy of mine that we've been hanging out more. And he sent me a screenshot of his credit card bill from that night. I don't know who he was buying drinks for. I don't know what was happening.
Well, he bought a round of four shots at Open Road. It might have been two rounds at Open Road.
How much did he spend at Jackson's? He texted me yesterday. Open Road and Jackson's, shaking my head. Look at that number.
Holy shit.
$378.
How did he spend that much at Jackson's?
I think what he was doing, because he knows a lot of people. I think he was just buying people.
He was just buying them?
Yeah, I don't know. What an idiot.
I know.
I spent about $40 and I was like, all right, I'm good.
I know. Well, I had to cover the Open Road. I can't believe we.
I told you you botched it.
I don't think I botched it. I think maybe I.
Valdez opened our gift card up to the whole table.
I did not open it up to the whole table.
Or somebody did.
So Mar and Kyle got there, and then I got Kyle a beer, and I think
that's for the three of you keeping track at home.
We're literally doing a show for about
Kyle,
two people right now.
This kid named Kyle is Mar's good friend who lives at the chalet. Okay, Mar does not live at the chalet. Mar lives in Arlington.
Yeah, he has boots on the ground Arlington.
The Moldy Chalet is in Reston, and that's where Kyle lives.
Yes, yeah, so that's his like best friend. And so I think that opened it to everybody else.
All right.
No, I'm glad you, because when I told you the
JP back this week, Lurch Bish out on the show. Good to have JP back, kind of bringing some different sports contrarian, I don't know if that's the right word, viewpoints to the show. But also, better than having JP back was having the Terry-o-meter back on the show today, man. How about that? A resurrection in August.
Why do you have your chin held so high right now, Drab?
Because I knew that this would happen, and they're still underselling it. That Terry-o-meter should be front and center on the show right now, but they're too, they won't play the radio game. This is inside baseball. They won't play the game.
Did you notice when callers were calling in, they gave their percentage? They gave your percentage.
Well, I was screening them up. Okay. Yeah. And we're going to continue doing that every time we talk Terry from here on out.
It's not only what's your name, where are you calling from, what's your percentage? Yes.
So you and I kind of, we screwed up. We're good producers, not great producers.
Okay.
We kind of, right idea, wrong execution when we started this. And I know you guys probably don't care about this Terry-o-meter, but we're just trying to squeeze a little juice out of this Terry thing. We gave it to Cakes. And Cakes has limited, and I won't say none, he's got limited radio instincts.
Well, here's the problem, is that when we put it together, JP was out.
Yes, but we...
I feel like...
But we couldn't give it to JP because he's the hater. Like, he's the commander's hater. Everyone knows that.
No,
he doesn't care about them.
He's bought back in.
Well, we're seeing... It's possible.
He's bought back in.
I pitched Cakes, and that's my bad. My hand up, Matt. I told you to not give it... Let's not give it to Bickle and... Jason, because they wanted nothing to do with the Terry conversations. They were punched out of them, and they just didn't really want to talk about it anymore. Cakes was at least playing along, but we give him the Terry-o-meter. Again, it's the style, 0 to 100%. What's Terry going to be at? Is he going to play week one for the Commanders? And Cakes immediately starts at 85%, and then now he's at 100%, and he won't budge off of it, and he's saying that he's guaranteeing it. Meanwhile, every 5 minutes, there's a new team that's coming out, a new trade rumor.
I know.
Even Bickle is cracking a little bit.
Do you think... All right, so who, if you had a redo, who would you hand it to?
I'd hand it to Eric, and we should have known that, like...
He's the more emotional,
and we knew that the news would swing at some point, and we should have known that Eric was going to swing with it.
Right.
But Eric was like yelling at us today. I don't know if yelling is the right word, but he was like, you guys, with this dumb Terry thing, you guys just want us to throw a number out there. And he goes, I don't do fake bits. And I'm like, well, I know you don't do fake bits, but you have to like lean. I was always saying, you have to like lean into it, or maybe kind of like extrapolate your feelings a little bit and play along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking you to do fake. There's a fine line. It's almost hard to explain. Nobody wants you to do hot takes, but I don't want someone Cakes to go, well, it's 100%. I'm never going to budge off of this. Let's not even bother bringing out the Terry-o-meter again.
Right. Hey, did you see our good buddy Scott Abraham retweet JP's GIF of the Terry-o-meter?
No,
I think Scott is.
Should we get Scott's?
We need his
percentage.
Yes, I think he's very intrigued by.
Here's what we're doing. Producer decision. We're taking it away from Cakes. Cakes has lost exclusivity of it.
Okay.
We're opening it up. The Terry-o-meter. Let's open it up to guests, to listeners, to producers.
Okay.
All right. So, Cakes has lost exclusivity.
All right. So hold on. Let me.
Do you like that idea?
All right. So work with me.
So
here.
Anybody can grab it.
Let's go to Jim in Chantilly. Jim, what's your Terry-o-meter at? I'm at 50%.
Yeah.
So we just put it there and we have it sit there till the next person.
Hey, by the way, you need to do some maintenance on that dial. I mean, it's so the Terry-o-meter has life. We'll see you tomorrow. Nothing would make me happier. Not from a non-commanders, like, this is nothing to do with commanders, than Terry not to suit up week one, because it was so dismissed from the other guys. Our idea.
Well, I don't think you're in the studio, but Eric keeps saying that you root for everything bad to happen.
I don't root for everything. He calls me a commander's hater. No, that's not true.
I know, but that's what he's painting you.
He goes,
oh, whenever there's bad news, Drab loves it.
Well, it's good content for the show.
I know. That's.
But I'm rooting for Chris Rodriguez. Now, Chris Rodriguez is now my guy. I'm not a commander's hater. I just don't like slurping up everything that's pumped out.
You know what I'm noticing?
I don't have to.
You know what I'm noticing with the guys? It's getting kind of tiresome.
Hmm.
Is that every single opinion or disagreement, it all devolves into, well, let's just on it. Right?
Why don't you like that?
I don't know. It's just like, well, you can just have an opinion without having to put money on it.
Right.
Like, everything is just, well, just put a bet on it.
Well, I kind of like that. It helps us keep track of it a little bit. All right, Valdez, what else you want to get to? Let's I know we're fueled by Don't Sleep today.
Yeah, we got, well,
to, what we got, are we going to get into when we come back?
All
here?
Right, hey, when we come back, I want to talk about Cakes' birthday treat of slutty brownies.
You're so weird.
And also a possible, let me pitch a possible reboot of an early 2000s show to you and to a bunch of biddies. That Netflix is doing a documentary on.
Oh, okay.
Hey, but we got to let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drabby. Show your support for me by going to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. And when you use that promo code Bitty, save 10% on every single order. Pound a 2-ounce energy shot before your workout. Go a 12-ounce sugar-free can before the show starts. Get some swag in your cart before you check out. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. We'll be right back.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 183. Happy birthday to one John Allville, right?
55.
I have a... I have a lot of thoughts about his birthday treat. It's very non-traditional, right? His I can't even say it.
Why can't they pick a different name?
It's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
In case you don't know,
let me look this up.
I don't even know if it's a recipe.
I've never even heard of that before.
Cakes is. This is what makes it even worse.
Isn't it called a brookie?
Cakes' daughter made him a batch of slutty brownies, which include pieces of Oreo, pieces of Reese's in them, has other candies baked inside of the brownie, which in theory sounds pretty good.
It's cookie dough, Oreo cookie, and then I think a brownie on top.
But what... Why can't we call it a loaded brownie? Why do we got to call it a slutty brownie?
Is there a family-friendly way to say slutty brownies? Just call them loaded brownies. That's the first comment.
Yeah. Also, there's also something to the fact that Cakes' daughter is baking a slutty brownie and then handing a slutty brownie to her father.
Like, how long have they been calling them slutty brownies in their house? Like,
I don't know.
Was Juliet 5 and Cakes is like, I want a slutty brownie.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Also, it's just a weird birthday dessert. Where's the cake? Where's
the funfetti?
The ice cream cake, the candles.
What about pie? Is pie allowed?
It could be. A brownie? A brownie is something you have at Potbelly. I know what I mean? I don't...
That's what somebody brings for desserts for a cookout. Or like a plate of brownies.
Mm-hmm. Like your mom would make brownies on a random Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, brownies aren't very special.
You want like a half birthday present or a treat? Brownies, okay. To me is like brownies are bored. You're bored and your mom goes to the store and buys the box.
It's almost like when you call slutty brownies, they should be like pop brownies.
I don't doubt that it was good. You think Cakes? He would never have a pop brownie.
No chance.
It's just so. But Amy did not call. She posted a picture of it. She didn't call it slutty brownie on her Facebook page.
Of course she didn't, because Amy is goody goody. Would she say brownies?
Yeah, I think
Juliet made brownies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What did Cakes? Did Cakes say like what he got as a gift? Did he get any gifts?
He didn't say that today. Did you guys all see? I hope you guys all saw the picture that Bickle was fixated on the show today of Cakes looking. I mean, he was just so over the top. I mean, I guess it was a good photo of Cakes, but he was saying he looked like a trainer.
Do you know what I thought?
What? If he didn't say anything, I wouldn't have thought twice about that photo.
No. We've been as a show, as well as Cakes, has been very hard on his pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of all the guests we've had in studio, Cakes has been getting a lot of shrapnel.
Well, Cakes does look terrible in those wall photos.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he looks horrendous.
And I think Eric knows that. And so once he saw any kind of glimmer of a great picture,
he was jealous?
Yeah. No, not jealous, but he went over the top to tell Cakes how good he looked. Because Cakes has been taking a beating. He really has been.
This is Amy's photo of Cakes. She says, what is better than a birthday cake? Chocolate chip cookie bar on the bottom, birthday cake Oreo in the middle, and brownie on top. Mmm.
But he didn't get like a jersey or a hat or a
I don't
beanie.
Know. Maybe he didn't ask for anything. Or maybe he just wasn't big enough to say anything.
Was I being a dick by talking about how awful his walls looked?
No, Cakes, I don't understand. They got so much. Here's the thing. If you're broke and your house looks like that, that's fine. But if you got millions of dollars in the bank, you can't have walls from 1992.
I know.
You just can't.
The justification from Eric was like.
What color yellow was that?
It was mustard. Mustard yellow.
It was like, it really is like a mustard, a French mustard
yeah.
yellow wall. It looks so outdated.
It looked like Grey Poupon.
It also, like, they're a lovely family, okay? They're a lovely family. Maybe the worst decorators I've ever seen. And I don't have a decorating bone in my body, but I got more than the Allvilles. They got the like, a Caps newspaper cutout. Okay. That's what it looked like. I didn't look like the Brooks Like jersey. It looked like Caps win the Stanley Cup or
like
something.
The front of the Washington
Post. And,
like,
a picture framed, and then right next to it looked like some china that they got on a vacation somewhere, their wedding china on the wall, like the plates were on the wall right next to the Caps newspaper on their mustard yellow walls. They need an interior designer to come over. They got money coming out of their ears.
All right, if you want to keep a yellow wall, can I recommend like a light canary yellow?
It looked like
something softer. I mean, this yellow is
no. It would be the yellow on a wall that if you're going downstairs into
like a Skins man cave,
yeah, like Brian Mitchell's man cave, right? <Yeah. laughs> To watch the freaking Commanders at 1 o'clock. That's the yellow of the walls.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
picture
gold.
That.
Yeah.
It's just gold walls all the way around. Commander gold.
It honestly, it's Steeler yellow. All right. No, but I agree with you. So I thought it was a jersey at first. But it's a newspaper, Caps newspaper.
That's what it looked like in the photo. But
either one,
because they have the Brooks Like jersey somewhere in that room as well.
Okay, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Like,
you can't.
You got it. You have to realize that stuff does not belong in your kitchen or living room. That belongs in the basement or your office. Right?
I know, but family bond. But you know what we're doing is what everyone else does to our photos.
I know.
You pick out something in the background and you nitpick it.
The whole... Like, that's not... That.
Also, the ceilings are white. It's such a bold yellow.
It's very bold.
It just looks so...
No, but that's... You don't make the focal point of your kitchen or living room a newspaper cutout of the Stanley Cup win.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that doesn't happen.
I know, but we are doing what we hate. Everything in the background becomes the story.
Have you ever been to Cakes' house?
I have never been to Cakes' house. I've been to his neighbor's house, Oscar Santana. Wow. But I've never been inside the Allvilles house. I've been inside Jason's house, JP's house, and Bickle's house. Cake's the only one.
Interesting. Why?
Have you been inside of Cakes' house?
Yeah, I slept over there.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, we had one of those long appearances.
Did you sleep with the Simba comforter or whatever it is?
I think it was on a sofa.
You slept on a sofa?
Yeah, I actually think it was after the might have been after the no, it wasn't the boobash. It was one of those parties a long time ago.
Yeah,
where we're out until like 1 o'clock. And then I like got a ride. I dropped my car off at his house. I think I was living in Pasadena with my parents at the time. Dropped my car off at his house. We went in together, went back there, stayed the night, and then just went back to my parents the next morning. So,
yep. Never been to Cakes' house. JP's the most.
I've stayed with Jason before.
Yeah, I know.
When I was in transition, when we were...
You lived in his garage or something, right?
No, I lived in his basement.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice experience, because his wife, we would have dinner made for us all the time.
Back when he was friendly.
I know. We would go out to happy hours together at Bonefish. This was when he was going to Bonefish every Thursday
night.
Did
that Bonefish close down?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it did.
We were going there the entire time. I met, who was the special team coordinator? Danny
Smith.
Danny Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Danny Smith was in town.
I just got a text from Mikey Stotts. He says, I can never hear the word slutty brownie ever again.
Right?
That's funny. All right, talk to me about this reboot. You're fascinated by.
I am fascinated.
You understand that, like, you're falling right into the Netflix hole.
I know, but listen, I don't care because I found it enjoyable.
I hate documentaries.
I know, but you realize this is what Netflix is doing: documentaries on stuff from the early 2000s.
I know,
because it's right in our wheelhouse, and they're just playing on the nostalgia.
I know.
And trust me, I understand the playbook they're doing.
It's the bottom of the barrel. Do you understand? They're doing a documentary on a network television reality show from 15 years ago. Who, like, you're paying $25 a month for that? This guy's tweeting me today, Drab, you're so wrong about Netflix. Look at all these BAFTA awards they've won. Who cares? I've gone through Netflix. I'm going through it all. There's nothing on there that you need to watch.
I know there's nothing on there. But also, you realize you can watch it, right?
Yeah. But you would have to tether me to the bed for me to watch, make me watch that. I know you don't do this, but I would rather just sit on my phone looking at baseball scores than watching. Just studying fantasy football or something than watching a documentary about Bob the Trainer.
All right. In case you're unfamiliar,
what's his last name? Bob.
Someone with an H. Hammond. Okay. Harmon. Okay. But anyways, so Netflix has this 3-part documentary. Each one's like 40 some minutes long. About The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
All right. And if you're unfamiliar with The Biggest Loser, it was a reality weight loss show in the early 2000s on NBC, where it incentivized people who were obese to lose weight on the show. And the person who lost the most weight would be crowned the biggest loser and win $250,000. So the whole point of this documentary is to show how the reality show started, and then also how it progressed into something like so extreme that it became unhealthy. All right. So the start of the show is basically normal fat people, right? The average person you'd see walking around the radio station here. All right.
No, they weren't. They were guys
who were weighing like 270 pounds. All right. Well, the first season or two are guys weighing like 270 pounds. Mm-hmm. Women who were like 250 pounds. Maybe there's one person between the guys and the girls that weigh 300 pounds.
And then they started getting 600 pound people.
Yes.
Or something like that.
So now all of a sudden, when they're losing they're losing 50 pounds and they look great and the big reveal. And now everybody wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as the season goes on. And now all of a sudden, because they're getting bigger, they can't do all of this exercising.
But isn't this, this is also reality show programming 101.
Of course. Like, you got to top what
you got to keep topping it every single year interest.
Now they have couple biggest losers one season or they have friends that are doing it together. They had childhood obesity biggest loser. And then it got to the point where the people were so fat and unhealthy that they could not do the exercising. It became gluttonous to watch. It became inhumane. How they were treating them, how they were basically making them work out till they puked, and how it affected the contestants' lives moving forward.
But isn't, like most documentaries, it's just one-sided?
Of course. This is so one-sided.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I hate documentaries.
I know.
It's net because people gobble them up like they're the truth, and they're always just one-sided, someone's viewpoint of it. It all goes, for me, goes back. That's the reason why I hate documentaries. It all goes back to Supersize Me. I knew that documentary was a fraud when I watched it, and it got supersized, taken away from McDonald's. The guy had a bunch of fake data, and he got everyone all stirred up and tried to cancel in fast food.
I know.
Since that day, I saw that dumb movie in the theater. I've hated documentaries.
So also Making a Murderer, too. The same thing happened where they basically they did everything they could to make Brian Dassey and the Avery family look innocent during the entirety of the documentary. Yep. But beyond all of this, I'm looking big picture here. So I watched the documentary. Yes, it's one-sided. I understand that. But they do have the Bob the Trainer. They basically have everybody in this documentary. Except for Jillian. They have Dr. Huizenga, the guy that's supposed to be in charge of
the TV doctor.
Yeah, the TV doctor.
Whatever it is,
They talk about caffeine pills. They talk about the New York Post and New York Times expose about it.
Caffeine pills. I know. So toxic.
I know, but I'm trying to take it a step further. I actually think this documentary is a trial balloon to gauge if they could bring back The Biggest Loser in some capacity. Maybe not on NBC, maybe on Netflix, maybe on Hulu, maybe a different network.
Why couldn't The Biggest Loser been brought back at any point?
Because they needed the heat to die.
Who knew there was heat on The Biggest Loser until last week?
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying it would have been brought back up if there was a reboot to begin with. So this is the trial balloon to bring back Biggest Loser or a Biggest Loser type show, weight loss reality show on a different network.
But there's always been weight loss reality shows. I mean, you got the TLC shows like my 600 pound sisters, and then you have the people who are always going to see the old 80-year-old doctor who does the gas. I forget his name. Dr. Oz or something like that. I forget his name.
Dr. Z?
Maybe it's Dr. Z. I can't remember his name. Somebody knows who it is. You guys know who I'm talking about.
No. Well, that's chronicling their life. But this, and that's also basically gastric bypass.
Yeah, but they would go home with these people and then shove cameras in their face they're eating. Like six orders of fast food.
I know. When I get depressed, I go get my ring dings. I know. Yeah, Trust me. I've seen it. They follow them in the car as they order an entire Taco Bell.
Right.
No. I'm talking about a transformation journey type show where it's based around exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I really think they're trying to bring this show back, and this is.
But who's bringing it back? Loser's not putting this on this documentary.
Maybe Netflix. Maybe Netflix is trying to do a copycat show.
Okay.
And they're trying to gauge the interest by putting out this expose documentary about how everything went wrong with that type of show.
I'm surprised that people are surprised that not everything was kosher on The Biggest Loser. I just you can always go back and look at anything and be like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. I would probably think the intentions were good from the very beginning. Some people had negative experiences. Some people probably had very positive experiences.
Yeah.
And then the documentary, of course, is only going to focus on the negative experiences.
No,
it's easy to look back on stuff in hindsight and being like, oh, yeah, that was a huge mistake. Those people are idiots.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that they could do that type of show today? Because there's a lot of, there was a lot of talk about in society today that a Biggest Loser type show would not fly because number one you have
maybe
people,
not on NBC.
Well, but. Yeah, I'm not talking about NBC. I'm saying in general, but because now you have injections you can do. It's different now. You're not allowed to body shame. There's you know. You have to be body positive about people.
I mean, I don't like what are the most popular besides all the ones on like the dating ones or the marriage ones. Are there any other like they might look they'll do a dumb documentary back on Married at First Sight and be like, oh, the producers were so evil. They put us together knowing that we would hate each other. So we would be unattracted to each other. Like, of course, this is like reality. It's a TV show first. You got to make the magic. You got to create something first.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I just I'm not surprised. 20 years later, the people had a problem with Biggest Loser.
Do you think I'm a rube because I'm lapping it up?
Yes, but it's mostly just because it's bottom of the barrel type stuff. Like,
oh, I'm not saying it's high. I'm not saying it's 2020 investigative journalism that's going on right here.
You could do it on anything. You could do a documentary on Seinfeld or Frasier. Who they were fighting behind the scenes.
You do it on the Junkies.
Of course you could do it. This is our version of a documentary right here.
Yeah.
That season. All right. Well, I probably won't check it out. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Trust me. I could tell.
But you don't need me to. I see other people talking about it. So
you know what? Tweet me about it. I would love to have a discussion about the Biggest Loser. I'm actually intrigued if it does come back. I would love to sign up, re-engage. Maybe do my audition tape. Drab, would you tape my audition with me?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I don't think you're what they're looking for.
Probably not.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get into here?
No. Drabby, hold down the fort by yourself on Friday. If you're in Ocean City, see me out and about, come up, say hi.
Where are you going to be at again? Where's your post up at?
I'll be in Ocean Pines, but I'll be all over. You'll see me at Sky Bar.
What street do you hang out at? 94th Street?
that's the only street you know.
Bulls on, what is it? Bulls on Parade? What is it called?
No, Bull on the Beach.
Oh, Bull on the Beach.
You get some good beef there.
Yeah.
We'll be at Secrets one night. We'll be on the, we'll probably be all up.
All right.
Beach,
well, let the biddies know where you're going to be. All right. When you get on Instagram or something. So post some videos.
I'll post the exact street number. You come up, say hi.
All right. Have a good time. And we'll see the rest of you guys back on the Junkies.
See you guys
later.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.